episode number 361 with the legendary Larry King.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Welcome everyone to a very special interview on the School of Greatness podcast. We have the legend himself, Larry King, here in the Greatness Studio in Los Angeles, California. Now, for those that don't know who Larry King is, he is a world-renowned radio and TV talk show host who has won numerous awards throughout his lifetime career. He was the host of Larry King Live for over 25 years on CNN and now hosts Larry King Now on his own web series. He has interviewed the biggest celebrities and world leaders throughout his career and has received several honorary degrees. He's also an author, a heart disease survivor, and incredible philanthropist. Now, I had the pleasure of connecting with Larry a couple times earlier this year, but then met his stepson, actually, who plays Arena Football League as well, and we had a lot in common. And his stepson's actually the one who helped me get Larry in. So we brought him in here to the Greatness Studio. We had an incredible time. And here are some of the main things that we talked about. First off, I didn't know how funny Larry actually was until I met him recently. So Larry shares with me two of his favorite jokes that he's got recently that I think you're going to love. Also, we talk about why Larry doesn't text. He doesn't have a smartphone, and there's a reason behind it. What Larry learned from all the world-class athletes that he interviewed, the common theme that they all had that made them great, the story that gave me chills from one of Larry's favorite interviews and who that was, the one person that Larry wants to interview but he hasn't yet been able to, why Larry doesn't want to die and the story behind that, also the big question that Larry would ask God if he knew he'd get an answer. This was a wealth of information for me. It was an incredible honor to sit across from Larry, someone who's been doing this for 60 years, 60,000 interviews, and just continues to be a curious mind, to be someone who's curious to learn about other people, no matter how big or small their results or success is, or how old or young, doesn't matter the race, where they come from. He is curious about human beings, and he brings that curiosity out in every moment. And for me, it was an incredible honor to learn from someone who's doing what I'm doing and has been doing it for many years. And for me, I want to be able to have that curious mind as well. So loved this experience and such a great time connecting with Larry. If you guys are listening or watching this right now, make sure to share this out. LewisHowes.com/361. Tweet it out, post it on Instagram, share it on Facebook. And let me know what you think as you're listening to it as well. So tweet it out and let me know at Lewis Howes and let Larry know as well. He's at King's Things on Twitter. And again, the link for this is lewishowes.com/361. And make sure to stick around to the very end because one of the final questions that I ask Larry, his answer may inspire you more than you think. So I hope you guys enjoy this one. I hope you cherish it as much as I enjoyed connecting with Larry and conducting this interview and kind of flipping the tables on him. And again, be sure to share this out, lewishowes.com/361. And without further ado, let me introduce to you the one, the only, the legendary Larry King.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Welcome, everyone, back to the School of Greatness podcast. Very excited. We have the legendary Larry King in the house. Thanks for being
here. Hey, Louis. Happy to be here.
I'm very excited. We met at John Astaroff's dinner party a couple of months ago. I don't know if you remember this, but it was at Wolfgang Puck's place.
I remember it very well.
Spago, right? Is that the place?
Yeah, we had that dinner.
You
were one of about
10, 12 people.
12 people.
Yeah, and we got to ask you a lot of questions.
Yeah, it was a nice booking.
It was great, yeah.
The guy paid me.
There you go, to have dinner.
Says, how would you like, I'll give you this, and you'll come and sit and have dinner, and 10 people sit around and ask you questions. I said, that's what I do every day.
Exactly. And I remember thinking.
That was fun.
It was fun. I remember thinking, I wish I had my podcast set up to record this whole thing, because the conversation was incredible.
Yeah, it was very funny, and it was
great, yeah. And Wolfgang came in and said hi and told stories about what you guys used to do back in the day or whatever. So first off, thanks for coming on. And I want to acknowledge you for the incredible work you've done. You've inspired me so much. I think you've inspired every interviewer in the world. So
well, I tell you the truth, John, I can't believe it myself. No, I do. I pinch myself a lot. You know, next May 1st, I will have been on the air 60 years.
60 years?
Yeah, I think I've done 60,000 interviews.
Oh, my God.
I always wanted to be a broadcaster. I used to dream about it when I was a kid, when I was 5 years old. Other people wanted to be, you know, doctors, lawyers, firemen. I wanted to be on the air. I didn't think I'd be an interviewer. I finally got into it in Miami in 1957. I thought I would be a sportscaster. You know, I loved going to Dodger games. But it worked out that I went from being a disc jockey into doing a show at a restaurant and started interviewing people, and I loved it. I was so at home.
Really?
Yeah, we didn't have any guests booked, so I never knew what would happen. Every day was a surprise. You know, people coming in. One day, Bobby Darin walked in. Jimmy Hoffa walked in. Danny Thomas. And I got to interview these people. I didn't plan. I didn't know they were coming. So I got to like the immediacy of it. I loved working live. Not planning. I couldn't plan.
Right.
And then it went into television, and we started booking guests, and then I did radio and always did both my whole career. Always did radio. Started the first national talk radio show on Mutual Broadcasting. That was in 1978. And then in 85, Ted Turner came and hired me for CNN. And then I did the first worldwide talk show. So I was kind of like a pioneer. And then 4 years ago, I hooked up with Carlos Slim, one of the richest men in the world. At the time, he was the richest. And he financed our site called Larry King Now on Aura, and it was my wife's idea. And so we got this talk show on the internet, just started our fifth year. I do a podcast with my wife, which we will have you on.
Love to.
And then I'm going to be 82 years old in November, and I can't believe I don't feel 82. I don't know where it all went. I mean, where did all the years go and all the people I've interviewed? And I think of people come up to me and say, you know, I heard your interview with Count Basie 60 years. Wow, Count Basie. Yeah, I interviewed Count Basie and Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong, all those people. Them. And 7, 8 presidents. You know, and it's still.
You've interviewed 8 presidents.
Yeah, it's still a hoot to me. I still love doing it. I still love asking questions. I also love comedy. When I do a speaking, I only speak and tell funny stories. I do not speak seriously. I work a lot of conventions.
Tony Robbins, that's where I first saw
I worked on Tony Robbins. I worked on other those self-help things. And I always go on and say, what am I doing here? You know, I don't have any books to sell. I don't have nothing to sell. And I just tell stories. And Tony's wild to work with. Tony used to introduce me by starting on the stage and take an L. Give me an L. Give me an L. And then he'd run through the audience, go up to the balcony, run across the balcony, you know, spelling out my name. Until he got down, until finally Larry King and I said that I think we ought to put a rocket up his rear and shoot Tony up to the clouds. He will not be happy until we sort of blast him off to Jupiter. But I had a lot of fun with Tony, and so I like doing this. In fact, that's one of my favorite things, to go out on a bare stage. There's nothing like the high you get when you can make people laugh, when you can walk out cold, nothing behind you, no script, no play, no guest, just go out. So I did a comedy tour 2 years ago. We worked Boston and Miami and all over the South, and it was just great, just going out on stage. We knew where we were going, whether it was directed, but a lot of times it would be ad-lib, and I just loved it. I love going out there, and a lot of my friends are comics, and I've always admired comics. I love interviewing comics. Comics see the world differently. They see things funny. You know, so what is not funny to most people can be funny to comics. And I've learned a lot from that. I learned timing. You know, I learned, you know, like certain cities, like Mel Brooks told me, there's certain cities that are funny.
What's the funniest city?
Albuquerque is funny.
Why?
Albuquerque, it's funny. Chicago isn't funny. Oh. No, just the sound. Albuquerque.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
it's funny. You know, yeah. Houston is funny. Okay. Dallas isn't fun. I don't know why. I'm just you don't even have to agree.
Sure,
it's
sure.
It's just part of the whole makeup.
What's your favorite joke that you love to tell?
I've got
thousands. If you can only tell one joke, what's the one you would want to tell?
It's some of the most recent ones I've heard. Well, I'll give you two.
Yes.
There's a train that goes every night from New York to Chicago. It's an all Pullman train, all sleeper. Leaves New York at 1 in the morning and gets to Chicago at 10 in the morning. Guy checks into his compartment, and suddenly the door opens and a woman checks in. Now, normally, Amtrak would not sell single woman, single man to spend a night together, but it was the last seat on the train. The woman insisted she had to be in Chicago. So they said, okay, and she got into the lower berth, the man got into the upper berth, and the train began its trek. After a little while, the man leaned over and said, I'm a little chilled. Could I borrow a blanket? The woman looked up and said, you know, we're never going to see each other again. We're on this train for one night, going to Chicago. We've got 9 hours together.
Why don't we just snuggle up a little, huh?
Why don't we play man and wife? You and me, man and wife. The guy says, sure. She says, good, get your own goddamn blanket.
That's a good
and
one.
And the other one was, those are funny.
Yes.
In Oregon, this company that chops down trees is hiring people to chop down trees. A foreman is interviewing people, and a one-armed midget shows up. A midget with one arm applying for a job as a tree cutter. And the foreman says, you got to be kidding. He says, no, I can chop down trees. He says, okay, here's an axe. Go out there, and there's a bunch of trees chopping down. The midget goes out, carrying the axe along the ground, picks it up, and whack, 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 knocks down 20 trees in a minute. Whack! He comes back. The foreman says, you are the greatest tree cutter I have ever seen. You're hired. You're unbelievable. You're a one-armed midget, but where did you work last? He says, I worked the Sahara Forest. He says, you mean the desert? He says, well, now.
That's great.
See, that's funny. The timing.
Yeah, yeah.
Even going this way, going that way, that's funny.
I like that.
I love jokes.
That's cool. Who was the greatest comedian you've ever interviewed? Who made you just, was so
well, I have so many great, you know, from the Don Rickles to the Bill Cosby in his prime was a phenomenal comedian. Jerry Seinfeld. But if I had to pick one guy to be really funny, is Mel Brooks. He's 90 now. But he did The Producers. He did, you know, that great Western movie. He did Young Frankenstein. But his mind, he did The 2,000-Year-Old Man, which is the funniest comedy album ever made. I was sent it first when I was in Miami, and I got to play it first. And I didn't know who Mel Brooks was. I knew Carl Reiner. And it was about an album about a guy interviewing a guy who's 2,000 years old. And all of it was ad-lib. And I put that on, and I fell on the floor. And I used to, I would play it with Mel when I was with him, you know. You'd ask him anything about 2,000 years. Your guy lived 2,000 years.
Sure.
And I started to listen to it. He said, we're here at Idlewild Airport, and a man is arriving who claims to be 2,000 years old. Not yet. He said, I'll be 2,000 October 23rd. What was your first language? The rock language.
The rock language.
Can you give me an example of it? Yeah. Hey, don't throw that rock at me. Are you crazy? And then went all the way to talk about Shakespeare and all that. Anyway, he's still that funny. His mind is that quick. So I would say he's a, cool. Rickles puts me on the floor, too. He puts me on the Rickles. My wife opened for Rickles in Vegas and Atlantic City. And he's been kidding me for 55 years.
Sure, sure. What is it about people that still fascinates you? 60,000 interviews later, why are you still fascinated?
The word I would use would be passion. I have a passion for curiosity. I'm not the kind of person you want to sit next to on an airplane.
Because you want to sleep.
Yeah, because I want to just ask questions all the time. And that has never left me, which is why I love sports so much, because I feel sorry for people who aren't sports fans. Because when I get up every day, like tonight, there's 15 games in baseball. I don't know who's going to win. The wonder of it. Who's going to win? What did they do? What did he do? What did he do? What happened? Who got traded? Wow. So I love sport. I love asking questions. But I also love the curiosity. Who's going to win the election?
It's pretty fascinating right now.
Yeah, but the whole thing is a wonder. I know everybody involved. You know, that's part of it.
You've interviewed
too.
Both of them. I'm
many times.
You know Donald really well.
I know Hillary very well. I know. So all the but the curiosity. I flew about 6 months ago from New York to L.A. And on the plane was the president of Audi, the motor car company. I drove him crazy. I learned more about cars, building cars, how cars are sold, what they want you to do when you buy a car. It was unbelievable. I'll give you some things. Ready?
Sure.
Always find out the day your car was made. And never buy a car made Monday or Friday. Because on Friday, they're anxious to go home, mm-hmm. and on Monday, they just got back. Best day is Wednesday. Middle of the week, they're totally into
making cars. They're in the flow.
If you're buying a car, the best way is to have cash. They want you to buy on time because the dealer makes half the money on the interest. The bank makes half the money and the dealer gets half the money and they're charging like 4-5%. They don't want to pay. You're going to buy. So you go in and tell them your financing. You know, you might need 48 months, maybe 56 months. Okay. So this price is 53. I could bring it down to 47,000 for you. You're going to do 48 months. So it's 47 the price? Cash.
Right.
You beat them. You know, but these are all little things. I would ask him about why are there lemons? How come cars? Now there's the anti-lemon law, which never was before. You know we have an anti-lemon law?
What is that?
You get a lemon in a car, you get a new car.
Really?
If they can't fix it, they've got to get you a new car. That never was in the past. Well, they keep trying. They give you a loaner.
Sure.
Now they got to fix it. They got to fix it or give you a new one.
Okay. I like that.
These are little things I learned in the passing of life.
By asking questions.
You know, so I never learned anything when I was talking. That was my motto on the air. So I asked short questions. You got to be a good listener. Often an answer brings a question.
Yeah.
And if you're a good listener and you stay focused and you're naturally curious, interviewing is a great way to make a living.
And you don't really prepare for your interviews, or you never did. Really.
Well, what I do is I'll go over some notes, you know, naturally with CNN, you're doing a worldwide interview and you're having a senator on, you'll go over some notes. But no, I don't do 6 hours or sit around
watching videos.
Because I never wanted to ask a question I knew the answer to. So if I read so much about you.
You already know everything.
I already know everything. It's the opposite of the criminal lawyer. The criminal lawyer never wants to be surprised in court. So he wants to thoroughly know what's going to be. If he's surprised, he's done something wrong. I want to be surprised all the time.
Where did that curiosity come from?
don't know. My my brother's a lawyer. My father died when I was 9.5 years old. He was a refugee from Austria. He tried to enlist. He couldn't enlist, so he was working in a defense plant. He was very funny. I remember that. I got it from him. I remember him being very funny. And my mother was a housewife, a wonderful woman. He died when he was... So I don't know where I got the curiosity from, but I always had it. I had it in school. Even though I wasn't a good student, I impressed teachers. I wasn't a good student because I didn't like being tested.
I hate this.
I was a pretty good student before my father died, and then after that I sort of coasted.
Mm. Who was more influential in your life growing up, or the most influential person, your mom, dad, or someone else?
The radio. The radio was my life, so I listened to all the Arthur Godfreys, who I later got to know, and the broadcasters of the Edward R. Murrows and the newscasts. I listened to the timbre of their voice. It had a great effect on me because it was every day. We didn't have television. Television came in like 49. I was born 33, so I was 16. When we got our television set, I was 17. So everything I got was through the mind and through the ear. So I was very attuned to voices. I hate texting.
Right.
I want to hear.
You got the old school flip phone.
That's what I have.
Can't really text that easy on that thing.
I don't text. Wow. I can receive a text.
Right.
But I know it can be important in emergencies, but it's mostly a cop out.
Yeah.
You can say no. You know, you don't have the answers. I'm a communicator. And I love the art of communicating. That's what I do with my course. I have a course called The Art of, what's the title? The Secrets of Great Communication.
With Brendon Burchard, right?
Brendon Burchard. And it's called LarrysCourse.com. You can go to LarrysCourse.com. It's 10 different courses.
Cool.
All based on my book, How to Talk to Anyone, Anytime, Anywhere, which is still in print. And so I try to help people through this course.
Yeah.
Learn how to communicate.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare, but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Because the biggest fear people have is public speaking. Biggest. That's bigger than any other fear of flying, fear of getting up in front of an audience. And
were you ever afraid to speak in front of public? Or
the first time, until I learned. I learned my first day on the air. how to use it. And it was so simple to me. I was nervous as hell. My name was Larry Zeiger. I had wanted to be in broadcasting all my life. I'm in Miami, living with my uncle, and I get a job at a small radio station.
Uh-huh.
Very small.
What year is this?
1957.
Okay.
Be 60 years next May.
Wow.
And they hire me, and they say, you're going to be a disc jockey. Play music, and you'll do news and sports in the afternoon. You got to work all day, $50 a week. And I'm starting on a Monday, and the whole weekend I can't sleep. I mean, I'm up and I'm planning my records, what I'm going to play, what I'm going to say. I'm looking in the mirror, good morning, unbelievable. Now it's the first day, May 1st, 1957. It's 8:45. Didn't sleep all weekend. I'm up, ready to go. And the general manager calls me in, Marshall Simmons, great guy. And he said to me, Larry, this is your first day on the air. We wish you the best of luck. It's a great, great business to be in, and you got a nice voice. We think you can make it. I said, thank you. He said, now, what name are you going to use? And I look at the clock. It's 8:50. I go on at 9:00. What name are you going to use? I said, well, he said, you can't use Zeiger. It's too ethnic. People won't know how to spell it. Now you'd have the name. If Engelbert Humperdinck could have the name, right. I could have it. So
Schwarzenegger, you're right.
Yeah, of course. So he says, your name is Larry King. And you know how he got it? He had the Miami Herald open, and there was an ad for King's Wholesale Liquors. And he says, how about Larry King? I says, okay. I legally changed it. And now I go in to go on the air, and I cue the record up, Les Elgart swinging down the lane. Da-da-da-da-dum, dum-dum, da-da. I still remember it. Hot May day in Miami. Records playing. I lower the music down, turn the mic on, and nothing comes out. I bring the music back up. I bring the music back down. And I look at the clock. I remember it's like 3 minutes after 9:00. And I'm saying to myself, all my life I wanted this. And I'm scared. And I can't do it. I'm too nervous. So the whole thing is blown. And Marshall Simmons, the general manager, kicked open the door to the control room, and he said, this is a communications business. Damn it, communicate. I turned the record down, put the mic on, and I can almost remember it verbatim. Good morning. My name is Larry King. That's the first time I've said that, because I've just been given that name. All my life I wanted to be in broadcasting, and this is my first day ever on the air, and I'm scared to death.
You said this.
I'm telling them. So I've got a new name. I've got a show to do for 3 hours.
First time on air.
We'll do news in the afternoon. So please bear with me. Now, later, such greats as Jackie Gleason heard that story, and Arthur Godfrey, Johnny Carson, they all said, you discovered that day what the secret is.
What's the secret?
There's no secret. Be yourself.
Mm.
If yourself is going to work, it's going to work. You can't grab the microphone or the camera and make them like you. I can't make someone listening to us now continue to listen. So all I can be with you is direct. Answer what you ask. Try to be conversational and hope that that works. If it works, now I've had 60 years, so something had to work, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't go on planning that, boy, this is going to work or that's going to work. I just trusted my instinct. And every great broadcaster through the years that I've known, interviewed, admired, read about, trusted their instinct. Edward R. Murrow in World War II, unbelievable. Be in London during the bombing. And I could remember this. Is Edward R. Murrow, this is London. And you'd hear bombs in the background. And that's what I love about radio, because radio, you can paint a picture that no one, Rod Serling once told me, the guy did Twilight Zone. He directed and produced all of Twilight Zone. And he used to write for radio.
Mm.
And I said, well, what's the difference? He says, well, when I write for radio, I could write, there is a long, dark castle at the top of this winding road that seemingly leads to nowhere. little organ music behind you. And you can picture that castle any way you want.
Absolutely.
You can picture that road any way you want. If I do the same writing for television, they say, okay, Rod, what kind of castle you want? We'll put the three-pointed castle, one-pointed. You want a flat castle? So it becomes the imagination of radio is unmatched, because you can use the power of the voice to do anything. Now, it could take you anywhere. Arch Obler, the great director of Lights Out. Lights Out was a great, scary radio show years ago. I had him on my radio show. And I said, give me a description of radio. And he started to describe an insect crawling up my arm with seven legs and a green face. A little hissing sound coming on. He's at your elbow now. He's climbing up the back of your neck. All he had to do was that.
Right.
And he was sitting there, and I got scared. You know, you're at home. He used to do a show, Lights Out. It began this way. Sunday night, 10 o'clock. Crawl under your couch. Turn down your blinds. Shut off the radio. And turn your lights out. God. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Those were incredible days, and I benefited from all that. I benefited from all the drama, all the news, all the sports. When I listened to Red Barber doing baseball, I listened to Vin Scully's first game. Scully learned baseball from Barber. I learned baseball from... I see Vin all the time at Dodger games. He's 89 years old. He's been doing it for 67 years. I remember listening to his first broadcast. So there's something about, and that's radio, baseball on radio. You can create the drama because you got pacing. Other sports don't give you the pacing. You know, football.
You got timing in between, yeah.
Yeah, you got that to build, you know, the
anticipation.
Red would tell you about the city he was in, what's in Cincinnati, and where the clouds are in the sky, and, you know, the crowds coming in and the turnstiles. And,
really painted a picture. Yeah.
That's what you do. You paint a picture. And so I can almost, Marty Glickman was a great basketball announcer. He was so good, I could see the game. I could see the game.
You didn't need TV.
Didn't need it. He got every pass right, where the player was, who the player was, what was, he just knew it. And
did you do sports broadcasting ever?
I did. I did Dolphin football for 6 years. I did color. I did the perfect season.
Wow.
I knew the Greasies and the Kicks and the Warfields and Manny Fernandez and Nick Bonacani and Don Shula's a friend. And
Who was the greatest, your favorite sports athlete that you ever interviewed?
There'd be a few. Ali would be way up at top. Ali was the best.
You interviewed him in his prime or?
In his prime, when he was, I interviewed him when he won the Olympics. It's Cassius Clay. He was not the heavyweight champion. He was the light heavyweight champion of the Olympics in Rome in 1960. He trained in Miami, so I was doing a local radio show. He came on. Then he came on my television show. Then he was banned from the sport when he changed his name. I remember the day he changed his name. I was at the weigh-in when he fought Liston.
Wow.
And he was acting crazy. I mean, he was going nuts. Yeah, you're going to fight me now. Fight me now. And I met the medical examiner. And I said, I don't think he's going to show up because he looks, you know, crazed. The medical examiner said his blood pressure is normal. It's all an act.
Amazing.
It's all, his blood pressure was 120 over 80.
Amazing.
I put him way up there, but a lot of others too. Joe Namath was one of my favorites because he was always himself.
Mm.
Joe was great at that. But I've been fortunate to talk to Sam Musial. A lot of football players, a lot of football quarterbacks. I learned a lot talking to sports people because, well, the athlete has something we don't have. Their career ends when ours begins. As Joe Namath, there was a book about Joe called When the Cheering Stops. I was with Joe 2 years ago in Cleveland. They had all the Hall of Famers there. He goes into a restaurant now. Some people recognize him. But my kids wouldn't know. The cheering stops. So you get to be 35, 36 years old, it's over. Whereas, you know, my career started to blossom when I was 43. You know, most of the, but, you know, and the athlete faces another thing that we don't face, winning and losing. We do not have a daily final score.
Right.
We don't have it. You could have ratings, but they're every 6 months. But the athlete, you go out to play.
Every week there's a game.
Every day in baseball. What was the final score? You could have all these. 6-3, you lost. They got six, you got three.
It sucks. Every day you feel great or bad, right?
That's right. That's what I love about Shula told me once. He couldn't be a, he loved baseball, but he couldn't be a baseball manager because he couldn't stand in the best of teams losing 50 games. But the other side is you come back tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Football, you got to wait a week.
It's miserable.
So that's misery.
Hurts.
For a week. You're a football player,
football
right?
Football player, yeah.
The pain of football. I got to know it hanging around locker rooms and seeing pain, seeing concussions, which they now, of course,
the movie
football's in long-range trouble. I wouldn't want my kids to play.
Yeah.
I'm happy they play baseball.
I'm glad I got out. I'm glad I got injured in my wrist and not my head when I got
out. My stepson, Danny, he still plays in the Arena League. And the fear is, you know, you're going to get, I hate to see bodies getting hurt. The difference is, in baseball, if anything violent occurs, it's an anathema to the game. If a guy gets hit by a pitch, blood is drawn, you feel terrible.
Yeah.
In football, you see that? What? Did he hit him? Whoa. What a shot. Yeah. Both helmets went to the ground. He hit him helmet to helmet. Whoa, great.
Get back up and do it again, right?
That's right. Let's get back up and do it again.
Wow, okay. Who was the most fascinating interview of all time, if you had to choose one, or the most interesting person?
Impossible.
They're all interesting, right?
No, they're not all interesting, but when you get to people like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Frank Sinatra, all the presidents, people who are just everyday people, people who are fascinating. People fascinate me.
Hmm. Why?
Because everybody has something. I'll tell you, I haven't told this in a long time. I'm in New York doing my television show, Larry King Live. And someone recommends you ought to book this New York City cop on. He's a captain. He's in the public relations area. He doesn't walk a beat. He goes around, talks to schools and groups. So, okay, we'll have him on. I figure it'd be another PR kind of thing, you know. And he comes in with a beautiful wife and a little son, except he's paralyzed from the neck down.
Oh.
He's in the wheelchair, paralyzed neck down. And we're talking, you know. His father was a policeman. His grandfather's a policeman. He would love his son, who was only 2 or 3, to be a policeman. He can't feel his son. His son can kiss him on the cheek. He'd feel that, but he can't hold his son.
Oh.
So we get around to, listen to this. How he got paralyzed. He was a New York City cop, and they're working Central Park. And they've had a lot of bike robberies, the report. So the captain tells him that morning, look out for bike robberies. This tells a lot about our society. It relates to right now, too. This story relates to right now. So he's in the squad car, and they're driving through the park, and they see a black kid with a brand new Schwinn. Swim bike. They pull over. The driver stays in the car. He gets out to approach the kid about the bike, and the kid shoots him. Here's right. He remembers the puff of smoke going up.
Oh, man.
And the ambulance comes. They give him last rites in the car, and he goes in, and he recovers, except he's paralyzed for life.
Huh.
Neck down. His child was a month old, his beautiful wife. He loves cops so much he wanted to stay, so he's doing PR in a wheelchair. And one day he says, I really want to meet the kid that shot me.
Wow. They catch the kid, or?
The other cop arrested.
Gotcha.
The kid surrendered.
Okay.
And he goes to visit the kid. The kid's in jail. I think he got 10 years or something, attempted murder. And he visits him, goes into his cell, and he says, why'd you shoot me? And the kid said, I'm an A student. My brother was a bad kid, and he left town to go to Philadelphia, and he said, hold my gun. I was just holding it. I didn't even know how to shoot a gun. I was just holding it. And I saved money delivering groceries for 5 years to get my Schwinn bike.
Oh, my gosh.
All I wanted was my Schwinn bike. And you were the 12th cop to stop me that day.
Oh.
So he says, look, can I ask you a question? Would you stop me if I were white? And the cop said, I had to admit, I would not have stopped him.
Wow.
So the kid just reacted out of anger. And then the end of the story, you could cry, is the cop gets the kid paroled in his stead, and that kid became a cop.
No way. Oh, my gosh.
So this could relate to today, blacks and whites and things. But his realization.
Oh, my gosh.
That what you understand about this kid had a new bike, which is all he ever wanted, and they kept stopping him. So what I always try to do is put your, and what he did, put yourself in the other guy's shoes.
Yeah.
Now, I don't say shoot everybody.
Right.
But in that moment of frustration, of feeling, my God, I worked for 5 years, saved up to get this bike, and they can't believe that I, a black kid, could have a bike.
Hmm.
It's a good lesson. It's
powerful, yeah.
So that's what I mean by learning.
Yeah.
Every day I learn. I've interviewed so many people with some blind people. What's it like to be blind? It's fascinating to me. George Shearing was a great blind pianist who didn't want to see.
He didn't want to see.
He was blind from birth. And he said, I don't want to see because every girl's beautiful.
Wow.
Every girl's beautiful. Every color is bright. All days are sunny.
In his world, right?
In my world. He creates his own world.
Wow.
My own colors. I don't have to. I can envision what red is or blue or black. Now, Ray Charles was different because he had seen. He wanted it back. He knew what he was missing.
You interviewed him as well?
Yeah. I've interviewed everybody.
Is there anyone you haven't interviewed that you wanted to?
Fidel Castro. I would love to. I went down to Havana some years back, and we tried to get him. Because he fascinates me, because he's led his country for over 60 years. I think he's the longest running leader ever.
60 years.
And so forget politics. Somebody must like him.
Yeah.
You can't last that long.
Wow.
And then he took on a country 90 miles away, 1,000 times bigger than his. He was embargoed. I tell you what, I discovered this. See, you could look at things differently. Havana is a fantastic city.
Hmm.
The people are so happy. They're poor.
Really?
But music is through the street. You walk down the street and there's music. The hotels are jammed. People from Spain and Canada and Mexico. Beautiful hotels. The airfield, the airport is gorgeous. The cars are all 1957 cars. Man, it's really funny to see. But they'll build hotels. Havana will be a major tourist stop. They'll wind up with a major league team in 15 years. Got a big population.
Of course. They got great athletes.
Number one sport.
Yeah.
It's baseball.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What would you say is the biggest lessons you learned about yourself over the last 60 years doing this? From all the people you learned?
Well, I tell you what I learned. As Bertrand Russell, the great philosopher, Nobel Prize winner, when he was 95 years old, they were having a dinner in his honor, and someone said, Dr. Russell, what do you know? What do you know? And he said, all I know is that I don't know. And so I would say that to you. I don't know. Lou, the more I ask, I mean, I'm wondered by all the things, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's out. We don't know if there's life on other planets. I don't know if there's a God. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't have faith because I can't accept something. I've asked too many questions. I never got good answers. I respected all the religious leaders I've interviewed. I respect them. I respect the, our religion. But I've never got an answer to the question of, explain the Holocaust. If you're omnipotent, you could have stopped it. Right. Explain the children dying. So, and the typical answer is, we can't explain the ways of the Lord, which is a total cop-out. You're speaking for the Lord. Answer me.
Right.
You're his representative.
Right.
So that bugs me. Hmm. But that's part of not knowing. I don't know, and I admire people that know. I'm married to a family that knows where they're going. They know they're going somewhere after they die. It's amazing to me. I wish I had that. I can't make that leap. It just makes no sense.
Right.
It just makes no sense to me. There's no logic to it. But it's a belief.
Yeah.
And you can't argue a belief. I can't make them believe. They can't make me believe.
They have to. It's a choice.
I can't make them not believe. Yeah. It is a choice.
Yeah.
And you make that choice, and it's part of the world. More problems have been caused by religion than of religion.
There's a lot of pain and suffering and war.
And everybody believes that. Like the you know, the guys who took that plane in 9/11, they're believers.
Of course.
Weren't they?
Of course. They believe they were right.
We call them fanatical.
Yeah.
But they didn't think they were fanatical.
No.
So they believed. Mm-hmm. How do we know they're not somewhere? I don't think they are.
Right. But they believe they were.
So all of life is a mystery to me. To have the answer to that mystery is amazing. I don't have the answer.
I'm curious. Here's a question I've always been curious about people who have had this experience. My father is still around, but he had a very traumatic car accident when I was about 22, 23 years old that essentially he's not the same guy anymore. I can't have a really emotional conversation with him. You know, we had to teach
dementia.
Him how to read and write. He just has amnesia. He can't remember things. It's always the same conversation. It's just, it's not the support that I had growing up. He's there physically, but he's just not the same guy. And he can't work anymore, but he's getting better, but it's just still not the same. And when that happened, I kind of always had this idea of, after playing professional football, I would have like my dad to be there for me and this backup plan. I'd go work with him and I'd have the support. And when he was essentially gone, I kind of had to figure it all out on my own. And I had to, it was like I didn't have a backup plan. And I was very driven from that point. And none of this would have been created in my life without that experience, because it made me be like, I've got to step up. I've got to figure this out. I've got to do it now, essentially on my own. I had support and mentors, but I don't think I would have been this driven in my life if my father was still around. Without that experience of losing him, essentially.
So you used the tragedy.
I used it to become better, to learn, to grow, to master myself, to figure out how to make money and things like that.
Now I'm going to interview. What did that teach you?
That's a good question. Well, the question I was going to ask you was, do you feel like that affected you when you lost your dad to be this driven?
Yeah.
To be this driven, and where would you be
maybe,
without that?
I always wanted to be in radio, even when I was younger than that. But sure, maybe it drove me. But
do you feel like you'd be here now?
Had I not gotten radio, I don't know what I'd have been, because I had no skills. I mean, I could talk well, but had I not found radio, mm-hmm. I probably would have been a stand-up comic. I had no college.
Do you think? So you thought you would have still been in radio even if your dad was around?
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
still be in it?
I don't know if I'd have been a success. You know, that's the old axiom we talk about all the time. Left turn, right turn. I went out of the house one day and went into Manhattan, and a friend introduced me to a guy named James Sermons, who was head of announcers at CBS. Mm. And I said to him, I will really break into radio, Mr. Sermons. What do you recommend? He says, go to Miami. It's a big city, a lot of stations, no union. So there's either old guys on the way out or young guys on the way up.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to run into a 40-year-old great talent. You're 22. Knock on doors.
Right.
I went down. Now, the question is, what if I didn't run into James Sermons?
Then what?
Where would I have gone?
How much longer would it have taken?
Or? How much longer would it have taken? What would there have been another? Now, someone told me.
What would be your name? What would be your last
name? That's right. Someone told me there would have been a different Miami. But if you have talent, you will out. You will make it. If you have talent and passion for what you do. Someone asked me, what's the one trait all successful people have is passion.
Yeah.
They have a passion for what they do.
How do they find it?
That I don't know. And they love getting up and going to work. In other words, they can't wait for the day to start.
What about the people?
I love the morning.
Yeah. You do personally?
Yeah. Oh, I love morning.
Yeah. We had breakfast one morning.
Yeah. My wife spells morning with a U. She don't get up in the morning. She mourns morning.
She sleeps.
Yeah. I like the morning. I like the day ahead. I like having something to do. I hate it if I've got a day. What do you do? Nothing.
Yeah.
What is nothing?
Right.
Nothing to do. I love work. I love the feeling of accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
I love the whole ball of wax. And I don't want to die.
Don't want
to die. My wife said, well, if I were frozen, cryonic, you come back in 200 years, she said, you wouldn't know anybody. I said, I'll make new friends.
Yeah, yeah. Start asking questions.
I like living because of curiosity. Who's going to win the World Series? Who's the next football championship? How's Kevin Durant going to do in Golden State, right? Could Pittsburgh Penguins repeat in hockey? Who's going to win the election?
You're curious.
If you die.
You don't know.
You don't know. And you don't exist. You don't exist.
Just your legacy exists, right? That's it.
Yeah, I know. But, for example, Sid Young was a dear friend of mine. He was a great. I grew up with him, and he died last year. We just had a dinner for him the other night. 14 guys sat down to have dinner. We had one chair empty. It was for Sid. And we talked to Sid. We talked right. So, technically, we're keeping Sid alive. And that made us all feel good until I said, Sid doesn't know this is happening.
Right.
We're keeping Sid alive, but Sid ain't alive.
Sure.
But he's not feeling pain, but to not exist and picture not existing for eternity.
Never coming back. Shape, form, whatever, yeah.
You ain't coming back. If there's another life, you don't know it.
You don't know it, yeah.
And by the way, if you think there's another life, you can never be wrong. Because there is another life, or you die and never know it. So you can't be proved wrong.
Never know. It sounds like you don't know the answers to a few questions.
Oh, I don't.
So I'm curious, if you could know 100% certainty of whoever, God, whatever, is like, this is the answer to that one question, what would be the one question that you would die to know the answer for?
Do I go on? Sure. Because, again, I want to be around. I want to be curious. I love to be a spirit. If I had one power, I'd like to be invisible.
Why?
Oh, ho, ho. Leave it at that.
Okay.
Leave it at that.
Right.
Okay. I could play shortstop. I could be standing behind a shortstop. I could fly in jet planes, right? I could visit actresses' homes. Think about that. To be invisible is enormous power. Have all the money in the world. You go into private meetings and find out what stock they're buying.
That's true. Go make it happen.
Go to Vegas and take money.
There you go.
Put it in your invisible pocket.
If you did know that we went on, would you do anything differently? If you didn't know that you lived on after this, or
I'd be happy to hear it. I want to know, how do I go on as, what am I? Am I a spirit? Am I in a body? What happens to my body? If I die, what happens to my body? Where is it?
Right.
There's so many unanswered questions. And for somebody who knows. So if I could know that, but there's no way I know I could know it unless someone who has died came visit me. I haven't had that happen. I've never had that, near death. I had bypass surgery. I had no near-death experience.
No, see the light.
I didn't see no light coming through the wall. I wish I could.
Who's the person you interviewed that you felt like knows the most or has the most answers or is the smartest?
Probably the British guy who has Lou Gehrig's disease. He's lived the longest with it. What's his name? Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking with the black theory, and he was fascinating to me because he types out all the answers, you know, because he can't speak. But he's a genius. And I asked him, Stephen, what is something you know nothing about? And he said, women. And that is the universal truth.
Right?
This I believe, and I don't want to hurt anybody out there, because I mean this lovingly.
Sure.
Please believe me, I mean it lovingly. All women are nuts. So, including my mother.
You say it lovingly.
No, you got to be honest. My sure. mother, my daughter, everyone I know, they're all. If they could be more like men, I mean, men could be nuts, but extreme. But the average guy ain't nuts.
Mm.
He ain't nuts. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
If my friend forgot my birthday, who cares?
Right.
And they have, I know that Venus and Mars theory. I accept mm-hmm. that theory. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest puzzle to me is
understanding women.
Women and the way they think.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know they think with a different part of the brain than I think. And it's really, logic is not their word. logic makes no sense.
Sure, you know? Sure. Okay.
And here's the worst thing you get from a woman. All women do this. No man does this. No man does the following. You walk into your house and there's your wife and she looks sad, glum. What's the matter? Nothing. No man would say nothing. A man would say, let me tell you.
Right.
Will you tell me? There's nothing the matter. Well, you look like you're... Stop it. I told you there's nothing. Don't speak to me.
What are you supposed to do in those situations?
I don't know.
Have you figured out that answer?
One of the answers someone told me is when you get up every morning, just turn over to your wife and say, I'm sorry.
That's it.
And you cover yesterday and today.
I'm sorry for everything I did and what I'm doing.
Because whatever it is, she's got something.
Wow.
And just say, I'm sorry. So the whole world is fascinating, isn't it? And you're looking for greatness. What is greatness?
My definition?
No.
So I'm going to ask you here in a second. That's the final question that I ask in all my interviews. My definition, I think it changes over time. I think when I was in high school, it was to get a girl to like me and play college sports or whatever. But I think now, as a 33-year-old man, it's to discover and pursue my dreams and make the maximum impact in the world in that pursuit. That's what it is for me. And I think it's different for every person. It's not about how much money I make, but...
Never sat down and examined it. I mean, I've been called... You know, I got a lifetime achievement from the Emmys. I won Peabody Awards, which is our Pulitzer. And I know I'm good at what I do. And people have said, you're great at what you're doing. I think greatness is to, in your chosen profession, exceed at being the best you can be. So you can be a great delivery man for a milk company. You never miss your rounds. The milk is always there. You've never hit anybody. You can be a great garbage man. You clean up the streets. You get it done. Another person could say, I'm a great husband. That counted more to me. I'm a great family man. That counted more to me than anything else in life, to be a great family man. But it's a word that gets bandied around a lot. You know, everybody's great. He's great. He's great. He's great.
Yeah. It's a good definition, I think. Yeah.
Derek Jeter said to me, there are a lot of phony legends. You're a true legend. That was a big compliment.
That's nice.
To me. The biggest compliment I ever got was Norman Chad in the Washington Post, who wrote, to say that Larry King is better on television than he is on radio is like saying Michelangelo. Michelangelo was a better sculptor than he was a painter. Which that really...
That's true. Cool.
But it's great being with you, Lou.
Yes.
You have a great podcast.
Thank you.
You're very thoughtful.
I appreciate it. I've got a couple questions left for you, though, okay?
Okay, Lou, you said 45 minutes. We have done almost an hour, but I understand, Lou, because you're totally ingratiated with me and you feel
I'm fascinated by you.
I can tell.
Fascinated. Yeah. I can't get enough of you.
All right, what else, Lou?
Okay, a couple questions left, I promise. I'll make them quick. Biggest mistake you've ever made in your life?
Smoking. I never should have started smoking. Mm. My father smoked. He died of a heart attack. I smoked the same cigarettes he used to smoke. Mm. Philip Morris. If I could have one day back in my life, it was the day I started smoking. Had a heart attack from that. had bypass surgery, stopped smoking the day I had the heart attack. I was 53, so it's almost 30 years that I haven't smoked.
Congrats.
And I loved smoking. Oh, I loved it. I smoked three packs a day. It felt good. It was very sensual. The feeling was great. I'll tell you how, and I understand addiction. All people who are addicted, I understand completely. You're addicted to drugs, you're addicted to drink. I understand addict because I was addicted to cigarettes. There was one night, I was single, living in Virginia, Northern Virginia, and I woke up in the middle of the night, a snowstorm, no cigarettes. I'm hunting, I'm on my feet, on my knees, crawling along, going through the garbage in the house to see if there were any cigarette butts, and there weren't any.
Crawling on the ground.
Crawling on the
cigarette
ground. I put on all the clothes I could think of. It's 3 a.m.
You
I get downstairs, and my car can't get out of the garage because the snow has backed up the electric thing.
Sure.
I go out of the building to Prospect House in Virginia, and I walk 3 blocks down a hill to the 7-Eleven, which is open 24 hours. I go into the 7-Eleven, go behind the counter, take out a pack of cigarettes, open up, light them up before I paid. Shaking to light that cigarette up. The wind blowing in my face, my feet getting wet from walking in the snow to have that cigarette. So I understand addiction. So I had a day back. It was the day I started smoking.
Gotcha. Thing you're most grateful for in your life recently?
Kids. The fact that I got 3 grown, I got a great stepson in Danny, and I got 2 kids who are 17, at my age, 17 and 16. I always tell the same joke. When people see me and my wife together, there's an obvious age difference. They look at me, they look at her, and I know what they're thinking. They look at me, they look at her, and I always say the same thing. If she dies, she dies. life goes on. But to have 2 young boys, 17 and 16, they're both driving cars now. I can't believe it.
Crazy.
Because they're still... See, when I see friends that I grew up with, and I have close friends that are still my friends that I grew up with, they look 17 to me. I don't see them at 82. They're 17. So when I see my kids, they're 5 and 6. And I'm taking them to their first Dodger game. And when I see them drive off in these monster cars going somewhere with all that engines and these kids, I taught them, I showed them how to drive.
Right.
It's crazy.
Huh?
It's crazy.
I don't have kids yet, so I can only imagine. But
there's nothing like kids.
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing in your life because suddenly, you have the only thing in your life that is unrequited love.
Mm.
Unrequited. Your kid don't have to love you. Your kid can leave you.
Right.
But you love your kid. You love him more than a wife, more than his mother. You can't. There's no love like it because it's unrequited. As I've often said, John Kennedy's mother had a lot of pain. The same pain that Lee Harvey Oswald's mother had. One shot, one received the shot. Both mothers have the same pain.
Wow.
Right?
Of course. Wow. Powerful.
Losing a child has to be...
the worst feeling, probably.
I could not imagine. I've interviewed many people who've lost children. It's not right. So Steve Lawrence lost his son at age 23 and lost his faith, lost his religion, never got it back.
It's tough. Could break you. Yeah. Okay, I have one final question, and I want to make sure I respect it. But where are we promoting people to right now? The course?
Larry's course.com. You want a great course? Larry'sCourse.com. You'll get a course on
communication,
secrets of good communication.
Interview skills, all
those
things.
You'll not only get 10 courses, you get individual interviews I've done with special people. Every month you get a new one. It's a great learning process. It's a lot of fun. It's funny. And at the same time, you learn. So you go to larryscourse.com. You will not be disappointed.
There you go.
I guarantee this.
And also, are you on social media anywhere, personally?
Well, I have
Twitter.
I have 2,900,000 Twitter followers.
There you go. At Larry King.
At King's Things.
I think
it's called King's Things.
Okay.
I don't even know what it's called. I have.
We'll link it all up for you.
I have this flip phone.
Can I see it? I haven't held one of these in 10
it's
years.
It's heavy.
Look at this thing. I'm going to open it. Look at this thing.
And I'll tell you why it's great.
This is amazing.
You know why it's great?
Why? Because you can't text.
It's a phone.
That's it.
You put it up to your ear. You don't have a phone. You talk into a box.
Sure, so, sure.
And another thing, I know addiction. My wife, totally addicted to her iPhone.
That's good. Oh, yeah, she's addicted to her iPhone.
She's on it all day. I see her sometimes sleeping, holding it in her hand, open her eyes and start texting.
Sure.
I don't ever want. See, cigarettes control me. That escapade of walking down that stuff, they controlled me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't control them. I had to go get the iPhone controls people. I don't want that.
Mm.
I don't want that. Yeah. I have to look at something. I'll learn. If something happened, you'll tell me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? I don't need that.
Look at it constantly, yeah.
And I don't want something that controls my life. I saw my wife and I were flying to Vegas once. True story, Danny. We're in the car. We're coming into the airport. And she goes, my cell phone. What about it? It's home. Well, we're only going for 2 days.
She's freaking out.
No. I start shaking. I said, well, I've got a phone. I've got a phone.
It's not the same thing.
If you have to make a call, it's not to make it a call. I got to go home. I said, well, what do you want me to do? She says, you go to Vegas, I'll take a plane.
She went home to get the phone.
She went home, take a plane 2 hours later.
Oh, my gosh.
I went to Vegas by myself.
Wow. Addiction. Yeah. Okay, I want to ask the final question.
Now, you keep lying.
No, I didn't ask the final question.
That's part of the secret of good communicating. If you can lie.
That was to promote everything you had going on.
Okay, that was good. Thank you.
Okay. Now, the final question, before I ask it, I want to acknowledge you, Larry, for a moment.
Thank you.
I want to acknowledge you for inspiring so many people in the world, for your incredible curiosity, and for being a seeker of truth. I think you've opened up so much truth to so many people in the world through your questions, through your curiosity, through your generosity. I think listening and asking the right questions is very unselfish of you and very generous of you. As opposed to making it about you in every interview, you make it about everyone else. So
don't use the word I. Thank you. I don't use the word I.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to acknowledge you for your incredible gift.
That's
for showing
it?
Up 60 years and constantly giving and giving and giving and still having a youthful energy and for being here. It just
thank you for your kindness, Lou.
Yeah, of course.
And since you've said that, it's about time I start getting back. How much do I get paid for this?
Yeah, exactly.
Lou, there's no money?
No money. I'll get back.
People pay me lots of money to do it now. Lou.
How much you want?
All right. For you, $75,000.
Okay. Give me a discount.
$60,000.
Got it. Okay.
Listen, you got a dollar for parking?
Yes, exactly.
Thanks, Lou.
Okay. Final question, though. That was to acknowledge you.
Oh, gee.
That was to acknowledge you. Okay. This is what I asked at the end.
What is the answer?
What is the answer? This is the three truths question. If at the end of the day, all of your interviews are erased and gone, and you get to write down three things you know to be true about everything you learn in this experience of life, three truths that you would give to the world, what would you say are your three truths?
Three truths. Nothing is given to you. You have to earn it. That's my truth. Of course, if you have inherited wealth, that's not your truth. But my truth is, nothing's given to you. I was very poor. I was on relief. New York City bought my first pair of glasses after my father died. So I never forgot poverty. We were poverty. So nothing's given to you. Number two, things will work out. What goes around, things will work out.
Mm-hmm.
Things look bad.
Always work out.
They work out. I don't know why they work out, but they work out. I have incredible belief in man and woman, the human.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's given to you. Things will work out. And to quote Mel Brooks, don't chase a bus. There'll always be another. Think about that.
That's great.
You run down the street, chase a bus. You miss the bus. You fall down. You get wet. There'll be another bus.
There'll be another bus.
There'll be another bus. Okay. Thank you, man.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you. There you have it. Wow. What a mind explosion and incredible experience that was for me to connect with Larry and really get to turn the tables on him and ask him the questions that he asked so many incredible people over the last 60 years. Such a grateful experience for me, and I appreciate you guys being a part of this with me. Again, the School of Greatness hits episode 361. So make sure to share this out with your friends on Twitter at Lewis Howes and at King's Things. Let us know what you thought. LewisHowes.com/361. Click the share button on the link or just tweet it out. Or you can go directly to your podcast app on your phone and just share it out right from iTunes on the podcast app. And let me know in the comments on the blog or on the YouTube channel or on Twitter or social media. Let me know the thing you got out of this the most insightful thing that you took away from this interview with Larry King. That would mean the world to me. And I'm sure Larry would want to hear that as well. So make sure to share that out. And if this is your first time at the School of Greatness podcast, then welcome to the community. Welcome. We get over 1.3 million downloads a month, and it's because of people like you who subscribe, who share, who review on iTunes as well. All those things help bring in more incredible people that are looking to change and optimize their life and take it to another level on all areas of your life. So if this is your first time here, thank you again. Welcome. And make sure to click the subscribe button over on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, and stay connected. We do this every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I love you all very much. I'm so grateful to be able to continue to do this podcast and connect with these individuals. It's all because of you and for you. So thank you. I love you. And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.